that is the hymn we're going to be taking a look at today on this Tuesday, April the 10th in the year of our Lord 2018. And with me on Rumination Tuesday is my good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith, who this week is going to talk into the microphone.
Hi, Tom. How you doing? Well, I'll tell you.
What happened to your voice?
It took about 5 minutes to get through just one verse of that hymn.
Yes. And
you picked the hymn, I didn't.
That was a children's choir.
Ah.
Yes.
Beautiful.
And I'm glad I chose that one because I have to leave early today to preach here at the Synod. So
that should be good for the last 10 minutes of the program.
Yes, we can. In fact, we're out of time. Yes, with high delight, let us unite. It was written by a man named George Vetter, who was a priest of the Unity of Brethren Church. So we Lutherans definitely borrow hymnody from other denominations because they also have the gift at times of really putting Christ in the center of it. Although this particular hymn was translated by a good friend of ours.
Martin Franzmann, yes. Hey, tell me more about Rodney. Now, you had him.
I did.
I did not. In fact, I think he soon passed away.
Yes.
About the time I entered the seminary. So tell me more about him. What do you remember about him?
Well, first of all, he was over in England at the college there, where James Veltz had gone also. Then he came back, became a professor after the walkout. And I had him for the book of Romans.
Oh, that was...
That's like 16 chapters.
I remember he wrote...
I think we got through chapter 8.
Wow.
In 10 weeks. I mean, there were just so much. And it's kind of... You know, they've gone to a quarter system now instead of semester.
Yes, I know that.
Which means now it's only 8 weeks. So we would have only gotten through chapter 5 with Martin Franzmann. But he also was involved in trying to put the Synod back together.
Uh-huh.
And he had done some lectures and was very, very good at having a mind that understood that the real issues were doctrinal, not personalities and such. But he was a great teacher, no doubt about it. And you can still get from Concordia Publishing House some of his commentaries.
Yes.
Like on...
Got the one on Romans.
Yes, and Matthew, I think. He also did the whole Bible.
Yes.
He did the New Testament, and Rares did the Old Testament.
I've got the New Testament with his notes.
Now, the new one has come out, the new Bible there.
Right.
And that's not done... It's done by individuals,
uh-huh.
You know, kind of thing. But, no, he would always have insights that you didn't see in the text. He was a lot like Dr. Martin Charlemagne, who found baptism all over the place.
Yes.
Because of the words that were being used and such. So this hymn was written, it first appeared in 1566 in a Bohemian Brethren hymnal. And it's really quite poetic and stylistic. Each stanza has 11 lines, and lines 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, and 8, 9, and 10 rhyme with each other, while lines 3, 6, and 11 are tied together in rhyme. So it was translated by Martin Franzmann and appeared in, remember the worship supplement?
Yes,
1969, it was a selection of hymns, some of which we chose for our new hymnal. And the tune is actually from a French pastoral song. And it was done by Bluma. Probably originated in the late Middle Ages. And the particular one in Worship Supplement was harmonized by Carl F. Schalk. He's done quite a bit in music. I don't know if you know him.
It's got a little bit of a... irregular rhythm, which I like. I mean, it's
yes,
it's pretty to sing.
Yeah, you could still whistle it, unlike Isaiah Mighty Seer of old. I remember being at the opening of the Milwaukee College, and they sang that, but it was printed out without the notes. Nobody got it right. Yeah, it was really.
They sang that. I think they sang that at the inauguration. No, I'm wrong. I'm thinking of another hymn.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I have already preached the sermon I'm going to be preaching in a half an hour at the Lutheran Extension Fund, and then I also played the piano there for the hymn. And I started playing it. It was The Strife Is O'er.
Oh, that's a good one.
And it didn't appear anybody was singing, so halfway through I stopped. I said, did I give you the right numbers? They said, yep. And they still, you can hardly. I have not. Have you got? Well, you don't play an instrument, do you?
At the same time.
But I can't sing.
Uh-huh.
I have to watch the notes. I'm not like my son. Oh, he can hear a piece sometimes, go to the piano and start playing it.
No kidding.
Boy,
that's a gift.
Yeah, that is a gift. And in fact, we sell one of his CDs that he did on Christian Hymnody long ago, and it's to a synthesizer beat.
Yeah, more upbeat.
Oh, yeah.
More
upbeat. Very much so. Okay. First stanza.
Yes. With high delight, let us unite in songs of great jubilation. Ye pure in heart, all bear your part. Sing Jesus Christ, our salvation. To set us free forever, he is risen and sends to all earth's ends good news to save every nation.
Have you decided what you're preaching on this Sunday?
No, I haven't. No.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sending in the stuff this afternoon to the church I'm going to. But this is, of course, Easter.
Yes.
So it kind of fits with just about anything. The Acts 3, if you ever ask people, what was the sermon in Acts that Peter preached? They're almost always going to say
Pentecost.
Yes.
Yes.
But actually, the very next chapter, he preaches another sermon after he heals a man lame. And people are looking at him, and he and the other apostles say, why are you looking at us?
You know? Yeah, let's see, the man at the beautiful gate. I think.
Yes, I think that's correct. That's Acts 3. Then 1 John 3 is about the fact of what kind of love the Father has given us. And then in Luke 24, this is when they gave Jesus, after the resurrection, a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it before him.
Yes.
And I would say those disciples would be able to sing this hymn, with high delight, let us unite. So what would be another word for delight?
Delight? Joy?
Yes, that's what I was thinking too, with high joy. Let us unite in songs of great jubilation.
Now, can I ask you a question?
No.
What do you get
out of it? Oh, I guess so. I don't know.
Pure in heart, all bear your part. What is that saying? All bear your part. What part are we bearing?
Okay, what would be another word for bear? If you're bearing.
Carry.
Yes. And so, to carry your part in singing to Jesus our salvation.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. So you might have a soprano, you might have a bass, you might have a tenor, you might have an alto, this kind of thing. And we're all bearing our part in singing to Jesus Christ our salvation. That's how I understood that.
It seems like it comes a little bit early. You know,
what do you mean early?
In the hymn. Well, bear your part. It seems like that would be more of a response to more gospel.
Well,
you understand what I'm saying? Doesn't it,
look at the line before it.
All right. In songs of great jubilation. With high delight, let us unite in songs of great.
Now let's try the line before it.
Ye pure in
heart. Yes.
Okay.
There's the gospel.
All right.
Ye pure in heart, now all bear your part.
Uh-huh.
So pure in heart would be justification. Barrier part would be sanctification.
Okay, right, right.
That's how I would look at that. To sing Jesus Christ, our salvation. To set us free forever. What are we set free from?
Well, death, sin, and hell.
Right.
That's what the resurrection has done. conquered sin, death, and hell for us. We're set free from the bonds of death and hell and sin, bondage of sin.
Right. But
free from our fear of death.
Right.
Okay.
To say, what puts us in bondage?
Satan.
No.
The wages of sin is death.
Right.
Our own.
Why is the wages of sin is death? Is that true for lions and tigers?
No.
No. Why is it true for humans?
It's true for humans because we initially took sin upon ourselves through Adam and Eve.
Yeah, you're getting close, and maybe it's just obvious to me. What we're free from is the curse of the law. This program is called Law and Gospel. Because God doesn't put a curse on the animals.
Yes. Wouldn't you say, though, I mean, we're told in Romans that all creation groans and travails to be released.
But that's a curse to Adam and Eve.
Okay.
Remember that they're going to have weeds in the ground now and
thorns and thistles
and pain in pregnancy, of childbirth, this sort of thing. Those are things that God imposes and
fallen world.
On a fallen world. So the fallen world is really due to the curse of the law. And the reason we're freed from it, and this is so hard to get across to people. You know, I'm driving around with Uber picking up people, and if we ever get into a conversation, I haven't met anybody yet who says that I'm free from the curse of the law. They always think they're free if they start obeying the law. They think obedience is the way of salvation, and it's a lot of fun talking to them.
Let's talk a little bit more about that question.
Yes.
You say that animals are not under the curse of sin, and yet the wages of sin is death. Don't animals die? How would you explain that?
You got to read Peter Kurowski's book entitled, Are Animals in Heaven, Are Pets in Heaven? And he goes through and finds all the passages where it says God is going to restore creation.
Right.
And it doesn't say only the good animals. It's all the animals. And he makes kind of a point there that perhaps pets, therefore, will be in heaven too. I think that's a little bit of possibility, supposition. But the fact of the matter is, I was surprised how many passages say that things are going to be restored. The perfect example is the Garden of Eden.
Right.
Paradise is described a lot like the Garden of Eden. In fact, it has a tree of life in it again.
Yeah, that's right. And the curtain in the temple.
Yes.
Which I think had cherubim embroidered.
Yes,
on it.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that
angels.
The angels guard the gate no more.
That's right.
God,
well said. Yeah, that's right. So from that point of view, I don't see anywhere in the Bible. The only two parts of creation that are under a curse are what? Human beings and?
And enemy angels.
Angels, yes, exactly. And that's why hell was originally prepared for the angels. And then when Adam and Eve joined with Satan, then there was a possibility that that too would go to hell. Did you hear our thing last week where it sounded like the Pope said there is no hell?
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah, it was.
Oh my.
Yeah, it was false news because the Pope didn't say that.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. It was one of those journalists who was an atheist, but the Pope likes talking to him.
Put words in his mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Because they had documents the Pope had written where it was clear there was a hell and such. So you got to be careful what you read.
Oh, well, you got to be careful what you say because your words can be misconstrued. And look at really what confusion that saying caused in.
Oh, boy.
In the church.
As soon as I heard the Pope said there was no hell, my old Adam said, oh, I wish I was Roman Catholic. Because then you could do anything you wanted on earth.
Oh, I know.
Because there's no hell. You wouldn't be afraid of God at all because he's taking everyone to heaven. In fact, I'm going to be talking about that. There is a denomination that believes on Judgment Day everybody is going to be saved.
Everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what do they call that?
Are they wrong?
Yeah, universalism.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, they are wrong. So, to set us free forever, he is risen and sends to all earth's ends good news to save every nation. What's earth's ends?
The whole world.
Yes, to the whole world. And good news to save every nation. See, when the word nation is used in the Bible as a translation, it's often referring to Gentiles, you know. And this is why God is so different than us. Who does he announce the birth of the Savior to, first of all?
Shepherds.
Who are unclean, right, and not allowed to go into the temple proper. And then second of all...
level of society.
Yes. And second of all to... They came on camels.
Well, the Gentiles.
Gentile wise men.
Wise from
the... Yes. Isn't that interesting? And who are the first witnesses of his resurrection?
Women.
Yes. Excellent. Who are not even allowed to testify in court because they're women. That's really... Yep. I'll read two. True God, he first from death has burst forth into life all subduing. His enemy doth vanquish lie. His death has been death's undoing.
I like that irony.
Yes. And yours shall be like victory o'er death and grave. Saith he who gave his life for us, life renewing. So what's the one you like?
His death has been death's undoing.
Yeah.
By his own death, he has conquered death.
It brings a big question. Didn't the devil ever read the Old Testament?
Oh, I know.
Well, it says he's going to be pierced in hands.
The devil
and
is not omniscient. You know, we have to remember that.
Well, you don't have to be omniscient to read the Bible.
Yeah, I doubt if he read it.
Or if he read it, he misapplied it.
Right.
Yes, he said, no, I can take care of that. Like most unbelievers
he's
do today.
He's not going to read.
You don't think he?
No.
I'm not so sure about that.
He maybe knew a few passages.
He's pretty good
he
at
misquoted. He misquoted when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. He did misquote.
Well, he also did that with Eve.
Right, that's right too.
But the fact of the matter, he knew he was misquoting.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know. That'd be a good discussion to have. How well the devil knew the scripture?
Obviously, not very well.
It doesn't matter because he fell into God's trap. And what you just pointed out is really good. Jesus' death, from the point of view of the devil, would not have been death's undoing, but it was. Stanza 3.
Let praises ring, give thanks, and bring to Christ our Lord adoration. His honor speed by word and deed to every land, every nation. So shall his love give us above from misery and death set free all joy and full consolation.
So what's the highest ingredient in that stanza that you would say?
Well, I'm looking here. From misery and death set free.
Yes, I would agree with that. From misery, we will be freed from misery, but we don't have to wait till Judgment Day.
No, that's right.
We
have it even now.
Yes. Yes.
Through our baptism and through the Lord's Supper.
Right.
Foretaste of the joy that is to come.
Yeah, I'm preparing a sermon for catechism, and the theme is going to be pretty good. Is the reason we're encouraging the kids to continue to come to church... What's that thing after, what do you do as a pastor after the people confess their sins, you?
Give them absolution.
Yes. If you don't go to church, you fall into self-absolution. And you can't do that. Because you don't believe what you're saying. Mm-hmm. That, well, I didn't, you'll always give an excuse for your sin.
So self-absolution is not.
Possible.
No, you say it's not possible or it's not adequate?
No, it's not possible.
Aren't we returning to our baptism? Whenever we return to the promises of our baptism, aren't we self-absolving us? I'm just asking a question.
Yeah. I can see your point there. But if it's my word, and I'm not recognizing it as the word of Christ.
It's nice to hear it.
That's right.
From your pastor.
Oh, boy. Because you're not hearing it from your pastor. In the stead
and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ. You're right.
Yes, and he doesn't say out of my power. He says out of my authority.
He's merely the mouthpiece.
Exactly.
The news of Christ.
So this is really, I'll be using it Sunday, this hymn.
Yeah, I will too.
Yeah.
I might even start off with that opening hymn.
Yeah. That's not bad. That's a good one to start with. I'll check it out. So, next week, you'll be back?
I hope to. Plan to.
What I'm going to do right now is, because I have to go preach, we're going to let you take over the program. And you will just hit this little thing, and you're going to hear the hymn again. Till tomorrow, Insight Wednesday, where we talk about a passage that is really misunderstood by Wikipedia and the computer. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.